Well, let's come to our God now in prayer as we ask for his blessing upon his word. Let us pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks for your goodness, which abounds to us so often and throughout each and every day. We thank you that you are our sovereign creator, provider. We see that in the way that you have cared for us throughout this day, as we see, Lord, the extension of the warm weather that we've been enjoying throughout this fall. We thank you for the blessings that we enjoy, that we're able to see your hand at work in our lives from day to day, and your provisions, the way that you do care for us. And we ask that you would bless us now in this afternoon service. Grant to us listening ears. Help us, Lord, to grow in our faith. Bless us with your word, we pray. We pray that you will guide and keep us as your people. And as we just sang in the words of Psalm 91, that you will hear our prayer for your protection, as you promised to do for us so clearly in your word. And so, Father, forgive us of our sins and wash us clean through the blood of Christ, and illuminate our hearts with your Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're up to Lord's Day 10, so I ask you to turn there, first of all, to the back of the hymnal, found on page 876, at the back, 876, Lord's Day 10. We've got two questions and answers there. Last week you looked at the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Here we see a continuation of this theme of our Father in his care over us. And so we have the first question of the Lord's Day, question 27, asking this: what do you understand by the providence of God? And it answers, providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God, by which God upholds, as with his hand, heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them, that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. And then question 28 asks, how does this knowledge of God's creation and providence help us? And it answers, we can be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and for the future we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father, that no creature will separate us from his love. For all creatures are so completely in his hand that without his will, they can neither move nor be moved. And that ends a reading of our confession of faith. Please also turn in your Bibles to Psalm 147. Psalm 147. And we'll read that psalm for our afternoon scripture reading, along with the theme of Lord's Day 10. That's found on page 723 of the Pew Bible. And over the next page, the last part of that verse is on the next page as well. So Psalm 147, we'll read from verses 1 to the end. Hear now God's holy word. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our God and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares the rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens that cry. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him and those who hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest wheat. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out his hail like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise the Lord. That ends a reading of God's holy word. May he bless that in our hearing this afternoon. Focus and attention this afternoon will be on Psalm 147. So encourage you to have that open before you. Psalm 147. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what is providence? Now, that might seem like a bit of a no-brainer kind of a question to be asking, but it's important that we know and understand the meaning. According to the Cambridge Dictionary, so not the Oxford one, but the Cambridge Dictionary, providence is, quote, an influence that is not human in origin and is thought to control people's lives. Now, hopefully you can hear that that's a very vague answer, not a very clear answer at all. An influence that is neither human in origin and is thought to control people's lives. And so you can have, you can be someone who believes in divine providence, whatever that means exactly. The word providence is derived from the Latin word provideo, which means to see ahead of time. This simply means that matters are viewed and known in advance before they actually happen. So the word providence, as to its root meaning, therefore, simply means seeing ahead or knowing ahead of time what is going to happen. But again, is that the right way that we're to understand this? That it's just a knowing ahead of what's about to take place? Is that what the Bible says? Well, here we have to consider providence not merely in its literal sense, but in its essential meaning. The word is used to signify our Heavenly Father's preservation and governing of His entire creation. In Scripture, God's providence also encompasses the ideas of actively caring for and directing all that He has made. In other words, He rules and He governs according to His eternal, sovereign plan, actively involved in His works. So here in the psalm, we're taught that God's providence is experienced throughout the whole world. 3 points for this morning, or for this afternoon's message. First of all, the God who cares. Secondly, the God who provides. And then thirdly, the God who delights. So first of all, the God who cares. Well, you note how the psalm begins. It starts out right away with this note of calling on praise, instruction on praise. Not only are we to give the Lord the praise that He so richly deserves, we're shown that praising Him is pleasant and fitting. The ESV in verse 1 says it like this: praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, And a song of praise is fitting. Is fitting. So whatever our choice of language here, by way of translation, the point of the psalmist is dead on. God needs to be praised. God is worthy of our appreciation and adoration. And all this assumes that we know the Lord. And we submit ourselves to His Lordship. We ought to be praising people and to appreciate all that we have from the Lord. Now the rest of the psalm tells us why praise is fitting. First of all, in verses 2 to 6, we're told that God cares. He cares. In verse 2, we see that God builds up Jerusalem. And we can read that to mean both physical Jerusalem, but also spiritual Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts or the exiles. And by His grace, the homeless Jews, they were taken away from their homeland. They were brought back and they rejoiced that their capital city was raised up and that the Lord heals the brokenhearted and bound up their wounds. We're singing that same tune, congregation, when we thank the Lord for the way that He builds up His church today. God cares for us in the same way. He builds it out of spiritual stones. He constructs us as those who were at one time captive to sin. He rebuilds from those who are outcast, who are brokenhearted and wounded. Clearly, the psalmist is seeing the Lord present, working among them and for them. Truly, congregation, we have to see God's care for us as a local church. He has brought us together. He's bound our wounds. He's carried our sorrows and our sins. He's held us together. And that's where the songs of praises begin. Beginning in our hearts and coming out of our lungs and found in our thankful living before the Lord. We thank the Lord for working the same way in our midst so that we're able to say that yes, indeed, He does care for us. We can say that when we come under the conviction of sin, under God's holiness, and are made citizens of Jerusalem through Jesus Christ, who has saved us. Now, He doesn't just care for His people in general. He cares for the least significant. And that's further explained in verse 4. God knows the universe so well and knows and names every star. Just think of an astronomer. You know, it must be thrilling to be an astronomer and discover a new body, a new planet, a new constellation, or whatever it is, and to be able to give it a name, to name it after yourself as the discoverer of that. But even as stars are discovered and new planets are given names, we have to remind ourselves that God already knows them by name and He knows their number. The knowledge of God it has no limits. He's not only familiar with the vast universe, He knows and He cares for it as He cares for us. And if He knows and remembers the stars, He's more than equal to our problems. He's more than equal to our problems. C.H. Spurgeon comments on this verse in this way. He says, from stars to size is a deep descent, meaning that stars in our size of trouble are a small matter to Him. From worlds to wounds to a distance which only infinite compassion can bridge, yet He who acts as a surgeon's part with wounded hearts marshals the heavenly host and reads the muster roll of suns and their majestic systems, from stars to size, is a deep descent. God indeed is great. His understanding is without limit. And we're not only well known by Him, but we're also upheld by Him. Are you thankful for that, congregation, in the way that the Lord has done this? You know that you are. When you trust Him, when you trust Him to heal your brokenheartedness, and when you look to Him to bind your wounds, you show your hope in God when you acknowledge that He is strong and you are weak. That He is rich and you're poor. That He is full and you are empty. That you are in need. And that the only way that this need can be fulfilled is by trusting in Him. Verse 6 says that there's a limit to His grace. He's the God who cares, but His care is only rightly understood by who? A certain people, right? He cares for those who are humble. According to God's way, it is the humble that are raised up, while the proud are cast down. Now, where can that be found? Where can that humility be found? Well, it's found in those who call on Him and who trust in His marvelous grace that is found in Jesus Christ. And so we're enabled to respond in faith and join the psalm writer by singing our own personal thanksgiving to Him. We're encouraged to praise our covenant God. Why? Because it's pleasant. Because it's beautiful before Him. He's the God who cares. Well, it leads us, secondly, to the God who provides. First, God's provision in nature is seen in terms of the weather. Verse 8 says, "Who covers the heavens with clouds? Who prepares rain for the earth? Who makes grass to grow on the mountains?" Well, from the weatherman's point of view, from meteorologist's point of view, clouds are formed by warm fronts and cold fronts coming together, highs and lows, and all of these different terminology that they have for predicting the weather. He watches weather patterns. But as you know very well, weather forecasters don't always get it right. And that's not just because they are 100% right, but it's because the Lord is not in the picture. The Lord's not in the picture. I've yet to hear a weatherman on a major network acknowledge the Lord in his forecast. The most accurate weather forecast that you're going to get is found here in the words of the psalm. God prepares rain for the earth. Moisture is necessary for life. Food, cattle, ravens, all depend on the hand of the Lord. Everything is accomplished by the hand of the Lord Himself. He who creates the powers of a thunderstorm provides for both man and beast. And that provision is further seen in verse 15, verse 18, and verse 19. He commands and communicates. As we experience the cold season year after year, we can appreciate the images that are brought out here in these verses. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. And the old King James uses the word there, hoarfrost. You know, it's like those icy crystals that form on the trees, making them look like spiky fingers. He scatters the ashes. He scatters it like ashes because that's what it looks like. Verse 17, he casts or hurls down ice like morsels or fragments. Verse 18, he sends out his word and melts them, meaning the snow, the ice, and the frost. Once again, it's gone. It melts, turns into liquid. Now, perhaps that isn't something we look forward to seeing and experiencing. Not many people pine for winter. But all this reminds us of God's effortless control. It's not difficult for him. It's easy for him to hurl down ice. It would be for us to scatter ashes or throw out tiny fragments. And you know how heavy snow can be, and ice. It's heavy for us. The cold, verse 17 says, is his cold. Ever complain about the cold? You know you have. It's his cold. He's the one who brings it out. Who's able to stand before it? The wind also that he sends to melt is his. But not only this, that he cares for his creation in general, he also cares for his small creation. For example, in verse 8, the psalmist defines God's provision in terms of the growth of grass. And you have to realize that here in the ancient Near East, grass is something that grew very quickly during the winter, after the winter and spring rains. But it would wilt just as fast as it grew with the dry winds. The Bible often compares men as grass that flourishes in the morning, but then what? Fades in the evening. Because that's what happens there in the ancient Near East. And he also cares for animals that, unless we're animal lovers, we just pass by these verses and take it for granted. But you know, you think of your pets, or if you have a hobby farm, you know what it's like to look after your animals. Think about what that's like, just your animals. God looks after all of the animals in this world. That's how great his provision is. There's something wrong with us if we are not excited or moved by God's handiwork, congregation. It's odd if we don't take delight in what God very obviously takes delight in. In this day of computers and gadgets, it's very easy to be overly excited about the wrong things. We're being reminded here that there's more to life than just playing the latest computer game. We're always looking for the coolest tech gadget that's out there. Or drinking pumpkin spice latte while surfing at the internet cafe. God delights in his creation. He provides for something. He provides for us something as insignificant as a blade of grass. He delights in the sovereignty of his providence. And there are so many things in nature that receive God's care. They testify of how wonderful that is. Now, I know many of you do enjoy that. You are outdoors people, which is a wonderful thing. That's what we should be like, enjoying what God has made, for what a wonderful provider God is. But since he cares in this, and since he is such a provider, we see lastly the God who delights. As verses 10 and 11 say, there are some things that God doesn't delight in. And these verses give a fresh turn to this developing theme of the psalm, but they are an abrupt change. As we look at these next two verses, we, in a sense, have lost the significance of the strength of the horse and what that entails, and what it means to delight in the strength of that. Perhaps In our day of sports, we can identify with the problem of delighting in the strength of a man's legs. When you think of some of the sports that are right now and the abilities that these pro athletes have. God's not interested in those forms of strength, if that's where we put our faith. It wasn't that long ago, probably right up to World War I, 1914 and 1918, that horses were used for warfare, for cavalry and infantry. However, the truth of this verse still applies to us today, as Psalm 33 verses 16 and 17 say, "No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength." In other words, human intellect, military design, human power, and strength do not impress the Creator. No, verse 11 says that the Lord delights in those who hope in His unfailing love. When you fear the Lord and trust in Him, you're blessed. God delights in you. Even more so for a child of God, because God takes delight in those who believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, and are made new creatures in Him. As God takes delight in His Son, and in all that the Son has done, so He takes His delight in those who fear Him. And as the psalmist says, those who hope in His mercy, those who hope in His mercy are really the ones, the only ones, who can count the blessings in a proper way. You can't delight and what God delights in unless you fear Him and unless you hope in His mercy. For those who delight in Him, know Him personally. As amazing as it is to consider the active power of God in commanding the cold and snow to come, as amazing as it is to be amazed at creation, which is as close as it is to our backyard, what's even greater is that we have His Word, His commands, His judgments, His statutes. And you know why He does that, why He addresses us with His Word. He speaks to us not to program us, but to show that He seeks a relationship with us. He doesn't merely want us to carry out actions. God doesn't wish to have obedience as something which is valuable in and of itself. No, He wants us. He wants the heart of Jacob. That's what He wants. He's not dealt with any other nation, meaning those who know Him and fear Him and have not been dealt with in any other way. And it's no wonder, then, that the psalmist commands us to praise the Lord, or to put it more literally, commend and laud Him, as well as boast in Him, for He has done much for us, for God's people. At the time that the psalm was written, the city gates had to be secure. God provided that strengthening. In the same way, God provides us with these gifts. He too has blessed us with covenant children. The church would be nothing without that gift. And yet God gives us these gifts. He's filled us with the finest wheat. He gives us our daily bread. We're never without a meal. He's provided us with so many things. And therefore we can say that all things come not by chance, but by His fatherly hand. Even the small sparrow He watches over. by his providence. This also applies to the fish in the sea, great and small, that, you know, you think of the time when the disciples were at the side of the beach, as we mentioned this morning, and the Lord provided food for them. Fish. God's providence even applies to lice, as we observe from the plague of lice in Egypt. It applies to worms, as is shown in regard to proud Herod, who was eaten by worms in judgment. And it applies to flowers and lilies of the field, as we read about in Matthew chapter 6. Not only does God's providence apply to the most minute and insignificant things, but it also applies to accidents, events that to us appear to be chance, but it's not. It's not chance. God's hand is most certainly engaged in such events, doing and working all things. And we observe this in the manner in which he has provided. You see, the Lord wants us to understand that everything comes from him. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And he also wants us to be patient in adversity. To be patient. That's hard to do, to be patient in adversity. Patiently trusting the Lord. But that's what we have to do, day by day. As that song says, day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I have no cause for worry or for fear. Help me then in every tribulation so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith, sweet consolation offered me within your holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, ere to take us from a Father's hand, one by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till with Christ, the Lord, I stand. What's going to happen to you? What's going to happen to you? Life or death, joy or sorrow, prosperity or adversity? We don't know. And it doesn't matter, because as a believer, you can say that you're held by the gracious hand of your gracious Father. And if you're here now, this is where you are in this world. Live by faith and by hope and by love and fight in love. For to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so whatever happens, know that it happens for your good and for his glory. And the whole point of the psalm then is to lead us in that direction, to glorify God for all that he has done. That's what we have to do when we celebrate the Lord's blessings for us. Doing that with a mouth filled and a heart enlarged, and a spirit exalted in the praises of the Lord. And may we together be able to say in our own hearts and with our own voices, and conclude with the words of this psalm, praise the Lord. Amen. Let's come to our God in prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful provisions, for your care over us. We certainly can see that you are faithful in all that you do. Your providence is made known throughout this whole world, not only here on earth, but also in the heavens. And we think of how great the heavens are in comparison to us, and yet, Lord, you know our sighs and our tears, just as much as you know the names of all the constellations and nebula and planets and stars and suns far away from us. And that's an amazing thought, Lord, to think that you are God who does care for us. You provide for us. Help us, Lord, then to be truly thankful in prosperity, to be patient in adversity. Grant that to us, Lord. It is not always easy to be patient. It's not something that comes naturally to us. It goes against us. And help us then, Lord, to learn that, to trust in you more, even when life is uncertain and when there is adversity in our lives. We thank you for the beauty of all that's around us. Help us, Lord, to focus our attention upon all your works and not to be so caught up in the latest fad and distractions of this life in this world. Help us to delight in you, O Lord, as you delight in those who fear you and trust in you. And so, Lord, grant to us your blessing, we pray. Help us to trust in you, the God of providence, the God who is in control of all things. Hear our prayer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.